I do commend the trumpet sounds to you, and this particular edition, the one which is available on the table and on the back, is quite amazing. Philip talks further about the Islamic State, the trumpet judgments, and so on. I commend it to you for your prayerful reading. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to his church even through that magazine. The One World Church is appearing. What are some of the signs? What is happening? What perhaps is happening to our children in their education, etc.? In May, I believe it was May of this year, Philip took two sessions on globalism, so I'm not going to go over that ground in any way, shape or form this evening. I want to speak more specifically about the church and how the one world philosophy and the demonic inspired beliefs that are behind this is impacting the church, even the so-called church of Jesus Christ, and how we need to be aware of these things, because if we are aware, so not to discourage us, not to make us downhearted, glum and miserable, but that we might be prepared and be so confident of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ that we will be anxious to declare the truth. Because we are the ones who, by God's grace, have hope. What the evil one is doing is bringing people, as he always has done, into bondage, into captivity. It is the truth that brings people into freedom. And, of course, the evil one is still saying today, has God really said this? Did God mean that? That is why some so-called evangelical leaders are now openly disparaging the Bible. So, therefore, on the whole, and again, it is the agenda which is inspired, if that's the correct definition, by the evil one, to get people to doubt God. Because if you get people to doubt the word of God, you get to doubt God himself. And so, so-called evangelical leaders are now openly saying that the Old Testament belongs to the past. It is the New Testament, and not just the New Testament. We should be listening to the words of the Apostle Paul rather than Lord Jesus, because the Apostle Paul is all about grace. When the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed, it's divinely inspired, it's given for us not just for encouragement, but it is given to us for encouragement. It's given to rebuke us at times, to correct us at times. It is God-breathed. And at that time, the scriptures that the Apostle Paul were referring to was the Torah. The Old Testament books, we cannot disparage. It is one God, hallelujah, over all. But of course, if did God really say that? Oh, but in today's culture, the New World Church, we can say, well, he didn't actually mean that when he wrote about the Sodomites. We can change that culturally. Did God say? Did you know truth is the new extremism? Truth is the new extremism. Are you at times perplexed how easy it is for people to believe lies? But then I think, as I look back on some of the lies I believed. No wonder in John's letter he says, hey, some rescue from the fire. Because some of us have been rescued from that fire. Aren't you grateful for the people who love you enough to tell the truth to you rather than speak lies? Aren't you rather that God says it as it is, that you're a filthy sinner and you need saving from yourself? truth is becoming increasingly outlawed. I want to talk for a moment about the Spiritual Diplomacy World Council. Spiritual Diplomacy World Council, SWDC. SWDC, okay? That's for sure. And a lot of what I'm going to say in the next 5 minutes is taken directly from their website, okay? So these aren't my own words, but I want to bring it to your attention because it is one of the most significant bodies that are now impacting the world community and in particular the church. And part of their website says that their aim is to assist global leaders understand spiritual dynamics of geopolitical issues. And I quote again from their website, "It is our aim to reduce hatred and eliminate wars between nations with the help of the vast unutilized resources of love found in the Bible and other traditional holy books." It goes on, "In today's extreme global environment, American diplomats are incapable of rescuing the civilization. Therefore, as a way out of a global dead end, all countries of the world need to make a spiritual decision. They see a solution in the global repentance of all nations, America being first. And after the completion of this worldwide repentance, the involvement of the heavenly coordinator of life is necessary in order to solve the problems of survival on earth." And we know that the world is in a mess. The darkness increases, poverty is shocking, the wars that are going on, the refugees that are fleeing famine, hatred, and the abuse that is going on amongst children and others, the shortage of water, and so much which is being blamed on global change, climate change. Philip took sessions on that, I believe, earlier this year, or certainly last year. Again, these can be listened to. He talks about it in some of the previous trumpet sounds. Of course, it's being built up. Because the ultimate, what the one world government and the one world religion, the one world order want to achieve is that you will be controlled. You'll do as we say. And if you don't, you're an extremist. We're getcha. But the mentality is hitting the church. A new emerging global government will need a spiritual ideology base and a new vision of reality to support a new world order. The website goes on that the new global culture will need a new interfaith religion, which is generally referred to as the universal church in the New Age. A lot of you will know that. And in this new world order, a global government needs to control the church and religious organizations. Thus, the reason that they will support and participate in a universal church. And in order to achieve their global vision of world peace without the appearance of naked force, they must have a religious interfaith organization which expresses order in the world, adhering to the new world church. And on another page it says that the new world order seeks to modify human and social behavior into an infrastructure of the new world order under a universal church. Believe me that the the overtures of many within the Roman Catholic Church, including some of his leading bishops, their overtures are being made to this universal church, because they can see them being able to take a lead in it. On another page on the website, it says, the issue for government today is not so much of how they control the body, but how they can control man's spirit and even God's spirit. I'll tell you one thing which the New World Order won't talk about. The New World Church won't talk about. I'll tell you something. What is it? You tell me. No, they will talk about Jesus, but not the biblical Jesus. Oh, they'll talk about Jesus, okay, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. No, they will talk about salvation, but it's being saved from sin. Would you like me to name a few evangelical church leaders who don't also preach about sin? You know them, I don't need to. We don't preach sin, we don't talk about sin, because that will turn people off. They will stay away. Well-known preachers like Joel Osteen is just one. But there are others, even some evangelical leaders in the church, so-called evangelical church leaders in the UK. We don't preach on sin. If you don't know that you're a sinner, you'll never get saved, you'll never get to heaven. We're doing people no favour, but it's all about the planet. It's all about saving us from ourselves, saving ourselves from our neighbours who are threatening us, so that we can live in peace and harmony. We can mix up the genetics. We can mix up the sexuality of children, so that they, even from the age of 3, are confused as to whether they're a boy or a girl. It's all Satan's plot to control and to take us away from God's order. Why does Satan hate Genesis so much? Why does he hate that God is a creator? Why has he now blinded millions, including many church leaders, that the creation is a load of nonsense? And of course, that's something else the Pope said. I don't know why we... But, you know, the Pope said just 3 weeks ago that God has used evolution. He believes in the billions of years and all that sort of thing. But God was still in the evolution business. But obviously he's no creator. Satan hates it because it tells how sin entered the world. It tells how this serpent came to deceive. It also tells how this serpent will have his head bruised. He will be done away with in time. His end is certain. That's why he hates Revelation. He hates Genesis, he hates Revelation, he hates the beginning, he hates the ending, because he knows how he came and he knows where he's going. And one day he will deceive the world no more. Hallelujah! But in the meantime, our children are being brought up to believe there is no God. Or you make the God, he's a God who you can choose to make into whatever you want. In actual fact, you're a God. You have a God living inside you. Indeed, on page 12 of this SDWC, the traditional religious views about the creation of the earth and who is responsible for maintaining it will be redefined within the new global church. The traditional view that God gave dominion over the earth to the human that he created will be rejected or modified to interpret that to be collective rather than individual. The new universal church, friends, is an intricate part of the new world order of global governance. They themselves will say that the new church is an organization which will be used to control man. They even say on page 14, not to free man, it will control man. A church which will have a central authority and a central agenda to be implemented by its members. And it goes on, we do not see the new universal church as a collection of individuals who meet to worship a traditional personal God. There's so many similarities, friends, what I've just shared, to so-called bridge builders like Brian McLaren, to Rick Warren, to the emerging church movements. It's quite alarming. And whether they know it or not, it's obvious to me that they are acting on behalf of the globalist, that everything must change agenda. Everything must change so the kingdom can be established, Satan's kingdom. But friends, that kingdom will come to an end. Glory to God. Do you know, Christ hasn't left his throne. Hallelujah. He hasn't left his throne. The Bible says, doesn't it, he holds in derision. He even laughs at the mockers and so on. But he still loves people. He's not willing that any should perish. What a duty we have. If God has opened your eyes, if God has opened my eyes to the truth, what a duty we have to share the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because a new Jesus has been reinvented. A new Jesus has been reinvented. And this new Jesus, this Antichrist spirit, is just paving the way for when the Antichrist and false prophet make their appearance. So that most, even within the professing church, will be deceived. They've got so used to believing a lie that they're taken in. Especially as all this is about peace. Peace. It's all about peace and harmony. You've got to live in harmony. Of course you want to live in harmony. You want to be in harmony with your neighbours. You don't want to fall out with your neighbours. Of course we don't. But it's a deceptive unity. It's a deceptive peace. We've been talking about the ecumenism and how often the wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ is distorted. It's so distorted that people are saying it's saying something that it is not saying. We've got to unite with other faiths, interfaith. We've got to unite with the Catholics. We've got to unite even with the pagans, really, because that's what Jesus prayed for, unity. That people will see, yeah, we're one, we're lovely. But what Jesus prayed for is, I want my church to be one. I don't want schisms and divisions among you. I want you to believe the truth. I want you to believe in me. I don't want your neighbours hearing, oh, there's been another split at that church. They've fallen out with each other. That is doing the gospel no good at all. We're working through things. We are learning to forbear with one another. To understand, to esteem each other. To love each other. Because we are Christ's body. Whom he has bought with his own precious blood. That you be one as I and my Father are one. It's not a unity which is based on organization and organizations. See, when the Antichrist comes, He'd be more than just a friendly chap with a good handshake. He will be exceptionally practical, which means, dear friends, he won't build or invent a religion from nothing. That would take too much work and too much time. He doesn't have that amount of time, so he's working it out now. After all, the Bible says that he disguised himself as an angel of light, the demons as ministers of righteousness. They dress themselves up to deceive. The Antichrist will do it like he's done it in the past. He'll borrow the best bits from all of the popular religions and invite everyone to join hands. In fact, I'm just for a moment going to talk about the Parliament of the World Religions. Have you heard of that? The Parliament of the World's Religions started around 1893. That's when I believe they held their first Parliament of the World Religion, and it was held in America, in Chicago. It didn't really catch on until its centenary, so that would have been 1993. But since then, many, many major international cities have been hosting this religious parliament, and it's now returned to the United States. I just rechecked my facts before coming out, and they've already booked the 2015 conference again. It will be in America. I think it was this year that Salt Lake City hosted the Parliament of World Religions. And this is what their announcement said. America is the home base of the interfaith movement, and it's about time the Parliament came back home. America is the home base of the interfaith movement. The home base of faith, of the interfaith movement. So how does the Parliament of the World Religion work? How does it work? I'll tell you, I said that the truth is the new extremism. Well, we suppress our differences, don't we? We suppress our differences. We're not talking about little things. We're talking about foundational things, non-negotiables, but we've got to suppress them. We've got to uphold those areas that we have in common. What are the areas we have in common? Lies. So that their meetings will be full of peace, love and understanding. You can look it up on the website. But it's happening. It is active, and leaders, significant leaders, both in politics and in church and other faiths, are being drawn to this. You'll hear much more about it in the coming days. I'm just giving it to you so that you can be prepared, not to alarm you. You know these things are going on, but that you can be prepared. There's the United Religions Initiative as well. You can go up on their website, www.uri.org, United Religions Initiative. And that's a global grassroots interfaith network that cultivates peace and justice by engaging people to bring religious and cultural differences and work together for the good of communities and the world. We are all neighbours. Oh, except Israel. Do you know what some they all have in common? They hate Israel. Why do they hate Israel? Because they hate God. Plain simple, really. Another thing you might want to look up on your websites. Don't get hooked on the websites. Please don't get hooked on the internet, because I know people who spend almost their whole day And then they end up going on the conspiracy sites and so on and so forth, and they get ahead. Then they get, yes. And Satan takes advantage of them. Better look at the good stuff, but we do need to know some of this so that we are prepared. And also warn our children and warn those we care about. Warn our church members and so on, our families. So that we're not taken in by error. We're not taken in. Somebody was saying at the tea break how subtle this all is. Because it comes in the name of love. And that's why the Old Testament has to be done away with, because it's a different God. He's the angry God in the Old Testament. In Paul's letters, he's become a God of love, a God of grace. The Global Community Engagement and Resilience Fund, GCERF.org. What is its purpose? To promote daily, enduring interfaith cooperation to end religiously motivated violence and create cultures of peace and justice. Faith in the community and the spirit of the nation, because it promotes interfaith literacy. What is their goal? To turn violent, radical, religious people into something less violent, less radical, and presumably less religious. See, there's some good in that. Said Philip talks about the Islamic State and the threat of terrorism and how we believe it will hit the streets of Britain before long. We believe that will happen. God will protect his people. Praise his name. And we do pray for peace. We pray that the perpetrators of these terrorist acts and the thousands and thousands of people who, for example, had to flee Iraq because of the takeover by the brutality of the IS. Our heart goes out to them. We complain, we moan about our lot, friends. We should, for 5 minutes, live in some of these people's pockets. We have nothing to complain about, but much to be grateful for. One day the Lord would take some of this away from us. Put on the whole armour of God, that we will stand, and having stood, to still stand. Because we're in Christ Jesus. Into faith. Increasingly will be the bug. Oh, don't forget the Tony Blair Foundation. Friends, we are, as it were, rolling along to a fantastic future full of peace, love, harmony, global tyranny, mass murder, and the Antichrist. And everyone who disagrees will be done away with. You know what Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says? A prudent man foresees the evil, he hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. I can't help but mentioning Rick Warren again. Because Rick Warren's New Reformation is familiarity with the Roman Catholics, with Islam and other faiths. It lines up with, for example, Tony Blair's open-minded, tolerant world. There's an article written by Tony Blair that clearly illustrates the world's efforts and his own efforts, so-called, to bring about peace. Oh, by the way, if you're going to bring about peace, it has to be without Christ. It has to be without Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. What did the angel sing? Glory to God on high, and on earth peace to all men of good will. But of course Jesus said, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Actually, I've come to bring division. Those who are for me, they're going to be hated. Even amongst your own families, especially in these last days. But are you going to stay for me, loyal, committed to me, or are you going to run away and have nothing to do with me? Jesus says, those that honour me, I will honour. Jesus says, will I find the faith on the earth when I come back again? Those who are still loyal to me, or have they gone the broad way to destruction? Have they gone the way of tolerance? Have they gone the way of interfaith? Have they gone the way of so-called peace and harmony? I talked about the 70s, and of course it was the 60s when the Beatles shot into fame. And you only have to listen or re-listen to some of their music to realise how even then the enemy was using them to bring in this world, this new world of tolerance, love and hatred of truth. Imagine. Tony Blair writes about the move towards a one world religion. But friends, this one world religion will reject biblical Christians because it will say that they are extremists. We know that's absurd. Because true born again believers in Christ are not prone to violence. They want to be peacemakers under Christ. But what Tony Blair and other leaders are really calling for is a world where those who say Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, that they are silenced. A good shepherd leads his sheep to clean water. He makes them to lie down in safety. But the Bible says we are to be wary of false shepherds that wear sheep's clothing. Today, many shepherds in God's flock are leading their sheep in the footsteps of such false shepherds. When Rick Warren endorsed, I don't think I mentioned this, but he endorsed a book written by a man called, I've forgotten his name, Peterson. Peterson, not the Peterson who wrote the Message Bible, but another Bible. It was published about 2 years ago. It was called Catholics Come Home. Catholics Come Home. And Rick Warren endorsed it. It's a book on the Roman Catholics' new evangelization program to bring back the lost Protestant brethren back home to Rome. The mission of Tom Peterson and Catholics Come Home is to bring souls. This is what Rick Warren says. Rick Warren says, the mission of Tom Peterson and Catholics Come Home to bring souls home to Jesus and the church is critically important during this challenging time in our history. Rick says, I fully support this new evangelization project. When the new pope was being selected, Rick Warren on Twitter called on all Christians to join him in fasting and prayer for the 115 cardinals as they seek God's will in a new leader. And then, of course, Rick Warren then welcomed the first Jesuit pope. I've already mentioned the most shocking of his compromising errors is his gospel to Muslims. That we can seek peace with Islam by accepting that Islam and Christianity worship the same God is totally alien to God and Scripture. Rick Warren was involved in another Muslim bridge building in a document that encourages Christians and Muslims to appreciate the similarities of our faith. He spoke at a conference nicknamed TED, T-E-D, Technology, Education, Design, about what makes God happy. Some of the past speakers at TED have been Bill Gates, Richard Dawkins, some of the most influential thinkers in science, philosophy and music have been there. And Rick Warren went there. And this is how he sees that amazing opportunity to share the gospel to unbelievers and atheists. I've written it down. This is what he said. Did you know that God smiles when you be you? Some people have the misguided idea that God only gets excited when you're doing spiritual things like going to church or helping the poor or confessing or doing something like that. The bottom line is that God gets pleasure watching you be you. Why? He made you. And when you do what you were made to do, he says, "That's my boy, that's my girl. You're using the talent and ability that I gave you." So Rick says, my advice to you is look at what is in your hand, your identity, your influence, your income, and say it's not about me, it's about making the world a better place. That's the gospel according to Rick Warren. When the world listens to Rick Warren, Bruce McLaren and others, one cannot help but think of 1 John chapter 4 verse 5, which says, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. May God help us to see only the truth. As I conclude, the Christian leaders who are advocating tolerance, I've heard that word many times, I'm sure. Those Christian leaders who are advocating tolerance at the point of embracing apostasy will triumph in the near future. They will, but it will only be temporary. The Bible makes that clear. Just as one world thought is dominating the political and economic scene today, it has captivated the thinking of both Catholic and Protestant leaders regarding religion. Who remembers Robert Barunzi? In 1989, the Archbishop Robert Barunzi called for all Christians to accept the then Pope. Who would that have been? 1989. Paul? Yeah. To accept the Pope as a common leader presiding in love. Runsey made his appeal at an evening prayer service midway through his first official visit to the Vatican. He says, for the universal church, get it? The universal church. I renew the plea. Could not all Christians come to reconsider the kind of primacy the Bishop of Rome exercised with the early church, at presiding in love for the sake of the unity of the churches in the diversity of their mission? And that kind of thinking is paving the way for the establishment of one world government of the Antichrist. Read about it in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, which will be supported by the one world religious system of the false prophet, which you read about again in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. And you can read about, thank you, Brian, you can read about the harlot church in Revelation 17. May God help us that we not to be separate in the way that we are obnoxious, that we can't get on with anybody. We're to love the brethren as we love Jesus, but that we would discern the truth and not be taken in. We owe it to our children, we owe it to our grandchildren. And let me also tell you, Philip hinted at this, probably more than hinted at this, the religion of Babylon, the whole world economy, is going to come crashing down very soon. America is in such debt. Britain is in such debt. It's increasing its debt. A crisis is going to be made. A crisis is already being planned. I'm not going down the conspiracy way at all. But let me tell you, there are such things. We've spoken about it. Philip's spoken about it. The Rockweilers and the others. Something is being planned that will cause you and me to come under control. Fear. We're going to control you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry, dear friends. God's your protector. He's your defender. He's your shield. He's your defender. He'll see you home at last. Amen. So a reminder that our next trumpet sounds will be the second Saturday in January, God willing. We will be looking at, we expect to be looking at the whole anti-Semitism, etc. God bless you and give you safe journeys home.